Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's a gift to be with you this morning. Before I pray, I promised my daughter that we'd pray for her this morning. On Saturday morning, she left for a missions trip to the Dominican Republic for 1 week. They left at 3 o'clock in the morning, and so this is their second day, and I told her that we'd be praying for her in church this Sunday. So, Father, we come before you. We thank you. I thank you for Kelsey. I thank you for her class as they serve you, Father, to the people of the Dominican Republic. I pray, Father, that you would be with them, that you would open hearts, that you would bless and encourage her, you would bless and encourage each one of the students there, Father, and it would be for your glory. Father, we come before you and thank you. You are such a good and holy and merciful God. Thank you that you reach down and communicate to us, Father. Father, I come before you and I lift up Ling, John's wife. I pray for all that paperwork to go through, that they could be united in presence together as husband and wife, Father. You would just go before them and help all of those details. Father, I pray for this church. I thank you for this church. I pray that you would bring the right person to minister and lead the English congregation, Father, that you would just go before this church and just make it very evident and real who would be best to lead this body at this time, Father. We know you are faithful and you will provide. Father, we come before you and thank you for this day that you've made. Let us rejoice and take joy in it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We last left off. This is the end of 1 Thessalonians. You know, I've been with Thessalonians coming and bringing you this word for now a pretty long time, and I was thinking about when the Lord put on my heart that this church should hear the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it was in Zion National Park in July of last summer. So it's been a long process here in terms of bringing this to you, but I hope you've grown. I hope that you've grown from it, and I know that I have. And today, I'm excited about being here, and one of the reasons is that God has changed my heart in thinking through the book of Thessalonians. There are some pieces that I understood, but some pieces that I'm still absolutely growing in. And it's this process of the sanctification that I'll be speaking to you today about. And it's last week's verse read, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The only way that this can ever be accomplished is because we are in Christ, that we are in Christ. We understand who we belong to, that we are His children, that salvation, eternity, is ours because of the cross. I am excited about this study today because, again, my thoughts have changed. And the older you get in your ways, sometimes you can get a little bit more staid. But God is always new, and He does bring new thoughts and new truths to us. I had a shift of thinking. I have always said, since presenting God's word, that Jesus came to set us free from sin and death. That on the cross, when He called out, "It is finished," the victory was won. Sin and death are defeated for those who put their faith and trust in Him. And certainly that is very true. Absolutely. Sin and death have been defeated. When we come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our sins, past, present, and future, are wiped out because God reached down and saved us. We are eternal people. We will be with Him in heaven because if you come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He has given you that faith. You will be with Him. But now I see that there is another reason that Jesus died, and it is not finished. And it's the process of our sanctification. He died so that we might choose to die to self and live for Him. Unlike the victory over sin and death, which is complete, done completely by God, the process of sanctification is daily and often moment by moment. Jesus has given us the possibility of sanctification because because His Spirit is in us. He also gives us the responsibility of dying to self and living for Him. How? How do we die to self and live for Him? It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, probably a familiar verses to you, but it's this process. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." How can we do that? Because when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His Spirit is in us. We can now discern with the eyes of God. Our salvation and the forgiveness of sin comes from us in God. God provided that for us, that we are in Him. But this process of sanctification is Christ in us, and our daily, moment by moment, choosing Him. We must submit our wills to Him. We enter into a spiritual battle. I call it the war of the self sins. I opened up my dictionary yesterday, my American Heritage Dictionary, and turned to the word self. There were over 70 references that start with self. I'm not going to read them all to you, but I will read some. Selfishness, self-centered, self-piety, self-righteous, self-conscious, self-promotion, self-assured, self-defeating, self-importance, self-respect, self-satisfied. You see, that's the battle. The battle that we fight, the battle that Jesus wants us to enter, is the battle over ourselves. That we would be able to transform, to renew our minds, to give ourselves over to Him. For a long time, I taught in public school. And in public school, the school psychologist came around. And I taught little people. I taught third graders. So they're 8 years old, you know, cute little kids, and they love their teacher. That's another song, another story, as I teach high school now. But these cute little kids, but the school psychologist passes out these buttons, and she says, and on the button it says, "I believe in me." Well, it sounds okay, but in reality, if that's all you believe in, you're in big trouble. Because in reality, you can't take away your sin. You can't give yourself eternal life. You didn't make this world. You made really very little. You can do certain things. God has given you that ability. But in reality, there can be no peace, because there is a God in heaven who made you for Himself. There is a God in heaven who you will only find peace in this world through Him. In reality, if all you believe in is me, you're very lost. You have no hope. You really have no future, because the reality of our bodies, we all die. We all leave this earth. And without Jesus Christ, we do not have eternity. We do not have forgiveness of sins. What she was really giving out was a religious button. And the religious button is a religion called secular humanism. Oh, the world doesn't see it as that. Oh, I believe in me. What a good thing. You know, do all this. But the reality is, it is very false teaching. Our victory, our belief, comes in a victory of the verse that we learned today. Though it is short, it is powerful. though it is short, it is powerful. Verse 5:19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Spirit's fire is God's Holy Spirit living in you. If you have called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His Spirit, the power of the living God, the speaker and creator of all the universe, of everything from the beginning to end, lives in you. We now have the power to live for Him. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. We have the ability to do that. If we truly put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are not going to lose His Spirit in us. That's not my teaching or understanding of God's Word. But we can put out His fire. We can take His Spirit that is in us and push it so far down into our toes that we are almost not perceivable from the rest of the world around us. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. God's Spirit in you will lead you to Himself daily, moment by moment, step by step. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. This is God's Word. That God's Word is prophecy. God's Word is all about what has been written. He has predicted things that would happen, that have occurred. His Word is prophecy. His Word is truth. We must not treat prophecy with contempt. And to me, what that means is not reading it. Not reading it. That we've been given the privilege of having God's Word. Most of us have many Bibles in our homes. And to not go there is treating it with contempt. To not go to God's Word, God saying, here's the plan book. Here's my heart. Here's my will. You can know it. It's right there for you. Oh, that's okay. I'll just come on Sunday morning and hear somebody preaching to me. No. God speaks to you just as clearly as He'll ever speak to me. God wants you to know Him just as personally as anyone else. God's will is for you to know Him through the power of His written Word. Test everything. Hold to what is good. Test everything that people say to you. That is right. Make sure that it is aligned with the Scripture. How do you know if it's aligned with the Scripture? Because you've read it. Because you know it. Because God has spoken to you. Because God has made it clearly. Has presented it clearly. Test everything. That is a good thing. That doesn't mean be cynical. That doesn't mean that. But hold on to what is good. Listen, hold on to what is good. And he goes on in verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. We can. We know when we're walking into evil. We know when we're on shaky ground. We know when we are sinning. We can avoid every kind of evil because Christ is in us. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, He lets us see what's right, what's wrong, when have you fallen, when do you sin. You know, He lets us know. We can avoid evil. The process of sanctification is the death of self, but it is won by submitting to God in obedience to the Holy Spirit in us. How do we win? When we overcome. When? Moment by moment, as we trust in God. Moment by moment, as we cry out to Him. Moment by moment, as we look for the face of God. We can see God always before us. Do I know? Can we? Yes. How can we do that? through the power of His Holy Spirit in us. Here is where your free will comes in. We can choose to listen to the calling of the Holy Spirit in us. Will you stumble? Will you fall? Will we choose not to hear? Yes, all of the above. Sometimes moment by moment, unfortunately. But we can pick ourselves up. We can grow. We can instantly call upon God. We can repent and turn to Him. And that's the God that we serve. He wants to pick us up. He knows we're going to fall. And He knows that He will lift you up and He will put you back on the right road. And how many times will He continue to lift you up? In my own life, I can only tell you a whole lot. A whole lot. And He continues to do this because His desire is to enable us to grow. When you sin, be quick to repent. It's what our faith is about. It's what the cross was about. Be quick to start over again. In verse 23, Paul goes on. He says these beautiful verse. I thought of this for a memory verse, but I didn't do it. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Our God is faithful. If He says He's going to lead you through this world, He will. And He also told us in this world you're going to have troubles, you're going to have problems. It's not going to be easy, but He is faithful, and He who calls will see you through. This process of sanctification is a gift from God. As we look to Him for our strength, as we seek Him in His will, we do begin to grow. How can we be free from the burden of self? By truly abiding in His presence, seek the face of God, understand the wow factor of your faith. And what I consider the wow factor of your faith is that God Himself would enter into sinful people like us. That God Himself, who created the entire world, also created our new beings when we called upon Him as our Lord and Savior. You see, creation was spoken way back in the beginning of time, but creation is also happening day by day, moment by moment, as new believers come to Him, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we reach out to those who do not know Him, and God opens their heart to this amazing gift of salvation, that they are now in Him. We who have Christ in us can now live and proclaim His word in power and in strength. The wow factor of our faith, to know who you belong to, to know that we are eternal, that is a big deal. We are not dying. We will live in heaven forever. We are an eternal people. But you know what's even bigger? That God, so much bigger, is in us. And that we are in Him. That is a wow factor of our faith. That's how big our God is. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire of the Holy Spirit burning. How do you do it in this world that can make us so dull? Yesterday, I was walking around my yard, and I was breaking sticks. I was going to give you all out little tiny sticks from my yard. I was afraid everybody was going to think I was doing yard cleanup. And then, coming from a third-grade background, I pictured people poking people. So, okay, maybe not. But the idea of keep the fire burning is this. One stick doesn't even light. One stick is very hard to set a fire on. Put two, you can get a little glow. Put three, you kind of get a little bit more. But when we start piling these sticks on top of each other, when we truly reach out and support each other, when we truly are the body of Christ, the fire grows. The fire glows, and it begins to truly burn. Keep the fire burning. Encourage. Read. Pray. This Friday, I had the privilege of praying with your pastor, David. We came together only for about an hour. We talked about our families and our lives and just different components, but then we prayed. Praise God. You could sense God's presence with us. You could sense God's presence there. What an amazing gift. God is here with us, two sinful people like us. Yes, what an amazing gift. God wants us to enter into moment by moment. God will protect and deliver us as we trust and obey in Him. Verse 25 says, "Brothers, pray for us." I was thrilled that my daughter wanted me to pray for her this Sunday. That is strength. When you know that people are praying for you, when you know and begin to grow in this power of prayer. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. No, I don't think you have to go around church kissing everybody. I don't think that's necessarily what this is saying. But what it's saying is we are a family. And in a family, when you have been away, when they come back home, you greet each other with a holy kiss. And praise God, we are one family. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. Guys, that's Bible study. We gather together and read God's Word. Have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Read God's Word. Know that God's grace is with us. He is willing to give us so much. We will overcome. We will stand before the Lord. We will stand there and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servants." But we must get beyond ourselves. And in so doing, we become more of what we were meant to be. More of what it means to be called His children. Sanctification is a process. It is not finished. It is God working in you to make sinful people like us more like Himself. Wow. Wow. That we are growing to become more like our Savior. If there is anyone here today at the end of 1 Thessalonians who has not come to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I would urge you, what must we do to be saved? The people in the books of Acts called out. And the answer is repent and believe. Turn to Jesus Christ. Call upon Him. Call upon Him and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are God. I believe that You are God. I believe that You died for my sin. I come and put my life in Your hands. I am sinful, I am fallen, but You are holy and You are good, and You will lift me up. I repent of my sin and I turn to You, Lord Jesus." When we say those words, God has moved your heart to do it. That you, if you want to put Jesus Christ first in your life, know that that is Him calling to you. That is Him saying, "I am true. I am real. I am worthy of your love." If anyone has not come to put their faith in Jesus Christ, I urge you to do that. today. Those of us who have, keep the fire burning. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this book of 1 Thessalonians. I thank you that you give us your living word. I thank you for changing my own heart. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for each member of it. And I just pray your blessing upon us. I pray that we would all grow to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.